A local author reflects on her life as a teacher and a learner. I'm Fletcher Powell, sitting in for Suzanne Perez, and welcome to The Range.
Support for The Range comes from Fidelity Bank, Goodwill Industries of Kansas, and listeners like you.
Coming up, a local man who makes hanging art into an art form.
None of the frame tops match. None of the center lines match. The water line matches. So if you stand at to the side, it looks like you're standing in the water.
But first, a new memoir by Wichita author Lakshmi Kambampati chronicles her journey as an immigrant, educator, and traveler. In it, she explores lessons about embracing change and moving forward. Beth Golay sat down with Kambampati to talk about the project and what she learned along the way.
If you were in Wichita on August 15th, 2000, you were here for Lakshmi Kambampati Day, as proclaimed by then-Mayor Bob Knight. That's just one of many honors given to Kambampati, a Fulbright scholar and two-time Peace Corps volunteer who speaks four languages. She also worked as a U.S. State Department-sponsored English Language Fellow.
Over the years, I had many meaningful experiences while crossing continents as a teacher, traveler, and volunteer. The people I encountered and the communities that welcomed me taught me valuable lessons about courage, cultural understanding, and human connections. I wanted to preserve those stories and share them with others.
Kambampati has preserved those stories through a new book titled Uncharted Paths, A Memoir of Teaching and Learning, a story she penned after rereading her personal journals.
I kept them as events for my own sake, but later on, when I looked at those and I read them, I saw that there was a connecting theme. So I developed those connecting themes into one streamlined story, and that became the Uncharted Paths.
Kambampati has taught many students in the Wichita area over the years, mathematics at Butler Community College, Wichita Area Technical College, and Wichita Public Schools, and history at Friends University. She's also taught teachers at home and abroad.
When I reflect back, when I was starting as a teacher, I looked at myself and I said, sometimes I could not manage my classroom. And I thought I was not capable. I doubted myself. Then I thought that maybe I may not be a good teacher. But slowly I built up and I started looking at my thing. And now I'm looking back and I said that those experiences have really helped me to become good teacher in my definition. And I could later on be successful and going to abroad and teach other people.
During her career, Kambampati became known for her innovative teaching methods, such as this approach with students in juvenile detention centers.
The whole school time that they came, they were on the computer and people were just watching them like hawks. That in turn became little violent experiences for them because they rebelled. Then I thought that they need some kind of relaxation. So I took some knitting needles, yarn, and crochet needles, and I started doing. I was warned from my colleagues that, what are you doing? Because those are the weapons for them. But I persisted. I said, okay, if you want to crochet, you have to do a little bit of work in math or in reading.
The memoir documents many travels and teaching experiences in places like India, Tanzania, Peru, Canada, Liberia, and Moscow. And Kambampati hopes experiences shared in the book will help readers take away a sense of courage and endurance to form their own experiences.
Life does not always follow the path we plan, but unexpected changes can help us grow and discover meaningful opportunities. I hope the book encourages readers of all ages to believe in themselves and keep moving forward.
For The Range, I'm Beth Golay.
There's a book launch for Uncharted Paths at 6 o'clock tonight at Watermark Books and Cafe. You can find more of Beth's conversation with Lakshmi Kambampati at kmuw.org. When viewing an art exhibition, you don't often think about how the pieces were mounted on the wall. James Porter has been hanging artwork in WSU's Ulrich Museum and throughout the community for decades. Torin Anderson caught up with Porter at the Ulrich to see a work in progress.
Well, in a normal turnaround, you have 2 weeks to take everything down and put something new up. We've been going for almost 2.5 months. So it's like doing 100 shows at one time.
James Porter is the art exhibition designer at the Ulrich Museum of Art. He says the scale of the new Bear It All show is massive.
I mean, downstairs, that was 4 days worth of work in the hallway alone, and we're doing more up here now.
The Bear It All exhibit, which will showcase nearly all of the museum's 7,300 works, is Porter's largest assignment yet.
Personally in my career, yes, by far, tenfold.
This exhibit is meant to expose work in the collection that rarely, if ever, gets seen.
Most museums hide their work, right? You only see 1 or 2%. Just gives you an idea of what's in the vault that people never see. Oh, there's easily probably 1,000 pieces in this room that nobody's ever seen.
Porter takes me around the corner.
This is our 3D room. Well, we used the crates that some of the art came in as an island instead of making pedestals. We just decided to use the crates they came in, give it a little different feel.
There is more to the story than just exhibiting rare works from the collection. This show is meant to house work on its way to new long-term storage.
We're building a new vault, and this gives us a chance to transition the work out of our current vault, work on it, and get things into the new vault, so when this show is done, we can just move all our work to the new vault.
And the planning for the show was faster than normal.
A show like this probably should have taken years to plan, and I'd say we probably did it in the last year.
Porter steers me toward the primary exhibit space.
This is Polk Wilson, the main gallery. This is mostly our 2D work. You know, there is a few sculptures you can see up on top of the temp walls, but we had so much we couldn't get it all in the other room.
Porter has been with the Ulrich for 16 years. He knows this work.
And I knew the work well enough that it's like, well, this piece will fit here. This piece will fit here. It's like a palette for me. It's in the middle of this floor here. Like, what can I use to paint this wall? Oh, I need that. I need that.
And having so much experience gives him the confidence to try some new ways of exhibiting work.
Well, Frederick Waugh is one of the larger artists in our collection. We have a huge count, right? So the way I started this whole show was this wall right in front of you. And if you notice, none of the frame tops match. None of the center lines match. The water line matches. The horizon line on every piece around the corner. So if you stand at to the side, it looks like you're standing in the water.
Porter is in phased retirement and looks forward to working on his own art. This exhibit is not his last hurrah, but it's been a fun ride.
No, I don't look at this as some kind of capstone to anything. No, it's just fun.
For The Range, I'm Torin Anderson.
There's more of Torin's interview with James Porter at KMUW.org. Thanks for joining us on The Range. Our producers are Beth Golay, Jonathan Huber, and Luann Stevens. Our digital producer is Hugo Fan, and Torin Anderson composed our theme music. I'm Fletcher Powell. Suzanne Perez is back next week. And this is KMUW, NPR for Wichita.
The fatal shooting of a teenager at a protest in Seattle has gone unsolved for 6 years.
This is open in your face. How are there no answers?
Our investigation has uncovered new evidence and witnesses who say they've never talked to police.
Did police ever call you?
Not once.
Listen to We Keep Us Safe, a new true crime series on the Embedded podcast from NPR.